It's just the two of us. We can make it if we try. No. Ooh-wee.
Why are you in a collared shirt today?
Don't I was already on showings this morning. I already had showings this morning. Showings this morning?
Ahoy, TK. Oh,
hey,
you got
there,
their
buddy.
Showings this morning.
They're showing the houses there.
But they're showing this morning.
Hey, they want to buy the house. They say they want to buy the house.
Everybody wants to buy a house. Nobody has money.
You know what?
To buy a house.
I think it's a great place to buy a house in.
Where? This Toronto?
Great old country of ours.
Canada, you want to stir this up right now? Did you see my tweet? Did you see what happened?
Oh, did you get attacked on Twitter again? Is this like what?
This one went crazy. Today's attack? I think it was yesterday.
You pretty much have figured out the formula on how to be able to cause trouble on Twitter.
I don't think I said anything. Like after this budget came out, I put out a tweet that said, what did I say? I said, who isn't trying to figure out how to get the fuck out of Canada now? And apparently, I am in the minority.
Duh.
Duh. What a beautiful country. And you know what I realized, TK?
Yeah.
And I've said it a billion times already. It's the perspective, right? It's the perspective.
I've been saying that a billion times.
I know. But TK, we've flooded the country with so many people that are coming from shitholes, right? Or places that are so much worse that it's like, how dare you insult Canada, this great place? But from my vantage point, it's a place that the your lifestyle is getting worse here, right? The services are getting worse here. And like from my vantage point, it used to be so wonderful. Everything used to be so great. It seemed like, you know, everything was so tickety boo. But I guess as you get older and you get more into politics and the politics start affecting your life more and more, you get a different vantage point. I don't know what the fucking thing is. I really think this country's going to hell. I really do. But I can't. And I'm surprised at
whether
the minority.
You think it is or it isn't. You're right.
No. Not again. Okay, fine.
Because I can promise you,
I guess
that
it's true.
Plenty of people who would wear, you know, Canadian flagged colored clothing and walk the streets to tell you that this is the greatest place on earth to live. And there's plenty of people out there in the world who would, you know, do whatever it takes to get them and their family over here to live here. So yes, you can have your opinions about it not being the same that it was. But
not to say.
To each their own. There are people who are in the exact same position that you're in, Daryl, who are the same age as you, who grew up the same way as you, and their lives today are better than ever. And they're looking around going, this is great, right? Mm-hmm.
And then next week, they're going to get laid off from their job that they've had
they got
for
a business
years.
And they're doing well and they're killing it. And then there's a guy
if
that's
they
the
have
same
a business, TK, then when they see these things, because those are the guys that get affected by these things. It's the business owners. It's not the guys with the jobs.
The business
that get
owners
affected.
Don't care because capital gains taxes, there's only going to be people who are selling. So it's like if you're not a seller right now, I put it in my newsletter this week about, you know, all the times that the capital gains has changed and it went from, you know, half to two thirds to three quarters and back down. And so, I mean, we're going up to two thirds again, basically over 250,000 for individuals and obviously corporations. It's going to be two thirds. And so like anything can change. We can go back down to we can get rid of capital gains at one point, you know, like there's no real clarity at this point. If you need to sell, so I got a place on the market right now, commercial property owned by a corporation, and we're on the market, we're selling. So we got an offer, and the offer was we're listed at 1.7. They bought the building at like 200 and something thousand years ago, so it's pretty substantial capital gains. And so and when the offer came in, you know, we're going back and forth, and I'm like, this is going to be a pretty heavy tax bill. And so I did some rough numbers. I told them to talk to their accountant and all that kind of stuff. And I figure it's about $100,000 difference, the changes, right? So we start trying to negotiate to try to get a June 24th closing date.
Yeah.
Because that's now a huge deal. Huge. But it's commercial financing. It's not easy to get, right? So in the end, my suggestion to the agent was, because we got the price that we wanted and all that kind of stuff, is we'll do a small VTB. So I found out how much cash they've got. Said, that's what I want from you. They had a big chunk of cash, thankfully. So it wasn't a high ratio type of loan. And I said, we'll give you the VTB that you need from the bank for a couple months after June 24th so that we can benefit from the closing, you know, prior to June 25th. That's if the budget's going to be passed or whatever. But anyways, client was happy. I'm happy. Everybody wins. My client pockets potentially an extra $100,000 because of the closing date, you know, but that's a big impact.
Well, and this is the thing. And there's going to be a lot of people that need to sell in the coming years that this will affect. And so it just went from bad to worse for those people, right? If you're sitting here going, when's the best, when should I get rid of this thing? Because renewal's coming
February 2022, you missed it.
You missed it. Not the top of the market.
You missed it.
I'm not saying the top.
But right now, though, the advice though right now is people are like, well, what do I do? Do I dump my property? First of all, to dump your property just because of the capital gains. One, you may not make the deadline. Two, you know, right now, you know, commercial real estate, it's not a great market. You know, it's a tough market, and that, you know, you might be able to wait until interest rates go down again, and that whatever your capital gains are. I mean, that was extreme. The example I gave. I think most people, it would be, the exposure would be maybe 50,000 or something. So if you end up waiting until, you know, rates come down a little bit, I think you'll get 50 grand more. And so then, you know, you'll at least 50 grand more. And so you'll offset any of those tax changes, right? So I don't think it's that big of a deal for someone to say, I should sell right now just because, especially if you can hang on to it for another few years. I'm bullish on real estate. Like, I'm not, that hasn't changed. There's still a lot of demand. We're still growing. And we can't build anything, and there's no room to build anything. And then we got all these same problems that everybody still, you know, has been complaining about for years.
No room.
There's no room to build within the Toronto area. Everything is like outside of Toronto. You got to go further and further and further away.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. Where are you going to build inside Toronto?
You mean like houses, subdivisions?
Well, sure. You can't build detached houses in a big neighborhood.
No.
You got no room to build more industrial units in Toronto. You got only spaces to build condos. And we know that those numbers just don't make sense anymore. You and I had a meeting yesterday. The numbers just don't make sense anymore to build condos. Nobody's building condos. Even the REITs aren't penciling deals for condos right now. You know, there's very few deals that make sense. So those aren't going to be built anymore. What else? You know, we got all these, you know, fiveplexes and townhouses and multiplexes and, you know, small six-story buildings and all that kind of stuff. Are any of those going to pencil out?
Not the ones for, you know, $1,500 a square foot, $1,400 a right? square foot. No way.
But and who can build them? I just listed that one on Woodbine yesterday. I told you there was one on Woodbine that I got. It's going on the market next week. And, you know, yeah, it's great that, you know, somebody's assembled three properties right on Woodbine. But is that even going to be something that, you know, somebody's going to be willing to put the money into and to develop it? I've seen some crazy applications out there, but I see a bunch of them going on the market, you know, saying, yeah, we're inches away from being approved or whatever. Here's this like big tall building in the middle of some area that makes no sense that it's there, but nobody's building anything. You know, how many projects, I want to know how many projects in 2024 have actually broke ground.
No, I'm not, the ones that are launching sales are falling flat.
Yeah.
Like, it's a ghost town.
I'm getting some weird emails from some strange people right now on why I should be selling their pre-construction condos and houses to my clients. And I'm just like,
they're coming to you again.
How did you get my information? How did you get my email? Why are you sending me this? You know,
like, comment and subscribe to the channel, and maybe even go and check out the Clips channel. Nobody's really watching the Clips channel anymore, TK. And check out Instagram.
Like, comment, and subscribe, especially Daryl. And we promise we're gonna, DK is gonna come in after, and then I'll try to come in as third. Just, we gotta get the algorithm going. Please, guys, let's get over. What are you guys at? 7,000? 8,000? Let's get you to 10,000 by how many months do we want to give? 10,000 subs. It gets harder, right? So that's cool. You're sandbagging it. You're gonna get there. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe. I'm double subscribed. Do it yourself. Didn't get to fix the show, though. Didn't get to fix the show.
Please subscribe. And
well, Jesus. Well, I talked to one of our friends, and you know, he was deep in the condo sales, and he was like, there is zero going on right now. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. But yeah, you know where things are going on for him and everybody. Not in Ontario. Exactly. Right. Everybody's kind of had to take that Calgary pill if they want to move any product. You want to move pre-construction, right? If you want to make a couple of bucks, we'll see how that all works out. But at least you'll get your first half of your commission when you get the first
installment.
Right.
May never get built afterwards, but.
So this new budget, fairness for every generation, like, doesn't it seem inflationary?
What a stupid name. Who comes up with these names?
Because it's like everybody knows how full of shit they are. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, apparently my perspective on things is very different than most people's. I think it's like they just are slapping us in the face. Like, you're so stupid that we're just going to name
it. We're just going to come up with these stupid names.
Right.
It's like our thumbnails.
We're not even trying anymore, you dumb fucks. Okay? Yeah. Like, here it is. But most people actually don't feel the way I feel, apparently.
And people
most
still
people
click
are like,
on our
yay,
thumbnails.
Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine people are still fooled by our thumbnails. But
somebody
maybe
every week has looked at our thumbnail and said,
Oh, geez. I better watch this.
This is,
I could learn something from this.
This seems important. Like, these two guys know something we don't know.
So, but hold on a sec. These guys just added so much with this budget proposal to the budget, right? Or to the deficit. Like, this doesn't help inflation at all, adding all this extra spending, does it?
No. I mean, they're trying to tax their way out, which we know that this is like, we knew this was coming.
We knew that this was coming to be taxed to death. This is like the next stage in the formula, is to tax them to death. I guess so.
Yeah, it all started with municipal taxes, right? So municipal taxes started to go up, right? And then, you know, the province obviously is trying to, you know, look at the federal government and say, hey, we need more money from you. The federal government's like, okay, we'll keep giving it. We knew exactly, you know, where this all was going. And even in 2020, I remember we were talking about, you know, 60% income tax rates and stuff like that for higher earners. They always talk about taxing the rich, you know, pushing
eat the rich,
pushing businesses, pushing the capital, you know, to other destinations. And I think that's what this is going to do. It's going to create an environment where people are like, is that really a place that I want to go and do business with? I don't think so.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, great.
I think there'll be push
the investment out of the country too. Flood it with a bunch of immigrants with no money, and then push out the investment so that the people with no money have no hope to get a job going into a recession. It has to happen at some point, right? These guys aren't. Are you frozen again?
No.
Oh, good. All right. You're just like,
I thought you're
like
were
a mime. You're like a mime.
Mimes are silent. They're not frozen.
That's very true, TK. Yeah. Once again, you have set me straight. So, okay. What else was in this stupid budget here, TK? This is fantastic. This thing is all the rage. Everybody's talking about this part of it. The halal mortgages. Halal mortgages.
Yeah.
So now you not only can you get halal meat at the specialty butcher, you could go to the butcher and ask for a mortgage now too.
I want to know just like
mortgage?
What the, you know, the backlash would be if someone were to
the Jew mortgage?
Islam.
The Jew mortgage.
And then just to get the mortgage. You know what I mean? Like, is that,
you know what the Jew
mortgage frowned upon?
Yeah.
Is that going to be a problem? I'm just asking for a friend, okay? Yeah. I just want to know. If I don't pay interest and it's just, you know, because that's part of my religion, but the only reason I'm in that religion is to not pay interest, you know, is like, does that count? Like, what are the requirements?
The requirements? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really just another scam. Anyway,
it's just another way for them to try to show people that they're doing things that are going to be suitable for them. How do we get a bunch of people to support us? They want
halal mortgages.
Let's give them halal mortgages.
I'm voting for that Let's do it.
Everybody's getting a halal mortgage.
Yeah, but a halal mortgage is not. It's not paying the interest. It's just readjusting how the interest is considered. Goes. Right? Yeah. It's like we're supposed to collect $70,000 of interest from you over the length of this term of mortgage. So instead, we're just going to charge you a fee of $70,000.
Yeah.
We'll charge it to you monthly, right? In increments of blah, 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 blah. And that's a halal mortgage. It's like
no interest.
All a smokescreen. Or
a bit of fees.
Or
anyways, Darryl, that's a you know, we shouldn't make
smokescreen.
That's a you know, some people that's important to them. But bottom line is the federal government doesn't care. And that's the main thing. They're not actually trying to provide people any real solutions here because that's a private enterprise type of solution. That has nothing to do with the government. But at the end of the day, they want to gain votes. That's what they're doing here. Right. And that's why this whole fairness for every generation thing is trying to sway the younger voters, right?
This is so fair. Yeah.
Like, oh, so it's the baby boomers' fault, is it? We're going to tax them. We're going to take some of their money. Oh, by the way, now they don't want to sell any of those properties that you want to buy.
They can't because of this,
we're taking an extra capital gains. $100,000 worth of tax off them, by the way. Oh, sorry, guys.
It feels fair, I'm sure, from some perspectives.
Yeah, didn't mean to do that to you.
It's very, very fair. Okay, so halal mortgages are off the table because it's insensitive and rude. It's a religious thing. Is this what we're saying? Okay, we talked about the inclusion rate going from 50 to 66%. It doesn't
talk a little bit more about that.
They say it only affects like the top 0.13% of the population or something like that. I don't know how in the world they can calculate
the calculations that they've got on their website. How do they charts do this? and the wealth and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't add up.
The whole report
was basically they wanted to basically show us, don't worry, nobody's actually going to be paying this. And then everyone's just like doing the math based on their own assets and everything else, and they're like, yes, we are.
Yeah,
we're paying this. Look, this situation, I'm paying this. This situation, I'm paying this. Everyone's like, we're all paying this. What are you talking about?
Or anybody I'm just about to pay property, that, right? Because yeah. I'm like planning on selling my
anybody
house
who's got
I'm
some
old
sort
now.
Of corporation, any type of business God that got any it. Type of assets. It's not just real estate. You got stocks and everything else. Like, unbelievable.
But what can you do? It's like it's just another punch in the face. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, for people that I guess started here and remember the good old days or have made enough money that they could actually, you know, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. It's not just me. Okay. So we know that there's a lot of people that are talking about it, that are actually leaving, that are going to all kinds of other places. Is it better over there? Who the hell knows? I guess according to your logic, if you think it's better over there, then it is better over there. So like, let's just all sprinkle a little magical fairy dust on ourselves and go buy one of these 1 lira houses in Italy and go have a party with a whole bunch of cash from selling our houses here if there's any money left after the taxes are paid.
Keep working until you're 90, Grandma.
What about all the people that are like talking about not paying their taxes now? Have you seen that? There's a little uprising.
That sounds like a Twitter thing.
A Twitter thing.
Sounds like a Twitter thing.
Well, Twitter things end up transpiring in the real world.
Into the real
too,
world. Okay.
Right?
Good luck not paying your taxes.
Not paying your taxes. What about all these people not paying their rent? You've got like buildings full of people in Toronto now that haven't paid rent in 7 months, 12 months. They're protesting the situation that the building is in, the repairs. Like, What about that?
It's a private matter. Those are private matters. Doesn't matter. Extreme circumstances. It does matter. It's
all
just extreme circumstances because obviously you got landlords that are not doing what
they're supposed
to do.
Zero here with you. All right. No, so nothing matters anymore.
Saying. It does matter.
Sell.
All right. What about these? Here's mine. Converting underused federal offices into homes. Budget promises $1.1 billion over 10 years to transform 50% of the federal office portfolio into housing.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. office vacancy in Canada surges to highest level ever recorded. So good timing for this.
Yeah.
Nobody wants them.
The $1.1 billion. Can that not, over 10 years, can that not do something? Can that not create housing somewhere? Like, I'm looking at like all the hotels and stuff in Toronto, and any hotel that's been around for a long time is now a homeless shelter, right? Like only like the nice hotels and stuff like that still exist. But if you look at the ones that are just kind of like, you know, the old ones that, you know, you maybe go to or something like that with your friends when you're 19 and party.
Motels, the motels, not, Kingston
not,
no, Road.
Those are getting like knocked down. But the
Hotel
the big
Six.
Ones, yeah, the big hotels. And so like, yeah, maybe converting office into housing for like affordable housing or for shelters and all that kind of stuff is perfect.
Yeah, for affordable housing because
communal washrooms and things like that. Like, you know, put one washroom.
No windows. These are people that don't like windows. They don't want their own washroom.
I think that there's some help there. I think that'll get a few tents. That'll get a few tents off the off the parks. All right, building homes on Canada Post properties. So think about how easy that is. You know when you got to drop off that letter, and it's like a pain that you got to stop and you got to find the post boy and you got to put it in there. Imagine if it was just at your doorstep. You know, you could just walk out your door and the postie's just gonna be walking by and you say, "Hey Jim, mind dropping this off for me?" I think that's it's convenient.
Why do we even have mail still? Like, what the hell? Why don't we just say, okay,
Canada Post offices across the country can be used to build new homes.
That's a good idea. What about libraries? I said that like a couple years ago. Libraries are in great locations.
Sure, but we need
libraries.
Nobody
goes to them.
What are you talking about?
Didn't we have maybe I got thrashed on this one too.
I take my kids to the library like every 2 weeks.
To the library to do what? To read?
We take books out. No, we take books out and then we return them. Where do your kids get books from?
You guys will be great in the apocalypse. You guys will know how to read and what else will you know? You'll be blindsided.
Get to the library, you know?
You'll be able to hold me in a chokehold while I'm stealing your food.
All right. Promises to look at redeveloping properties and building on national defense lands for military and civilian use.
Oh, that's good.
That'd be handy. If there's a war.
Yeah, we don't need the land. We can develop on it.
I think I'd rather be closer to the army base. That way they might even give me a gun if things get really out of hand.
Well, what about the army, the airport that they sold to Toronto Now or whatever the hell the corporation is? Like, it's been for whatever. Yeah, maybe Creatio. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's been sitting here off the island for 10 years now. Nothing's happened.
They don't build anything.
What? Right. So, okay. So this is going to happen. All the stuff we're talking about now, there's a good chance of this. Don't they have to build like 4 million houses a year or some crazy number?
I think their goal is 3 million and the clock is ticking. Like that number better be adjusted real soon. You know,
no units built.
Yeah.
Zero.
They better adjust that number real soon.
How is
building apartments,
possible?
Ottawa pledging $15 billion to top up the apartment construction loan program.
Yeah.
But we talked about this yesterday on our meeting yesterday. The numbers still don't really.
No, but what's interesting about the discussion yesterday and a few others that I've had in the last couple of weeks is that like everybody is definitely discussing the purpose-built rental now, right? Yes. There's enough things coming down the pipe that should make it worthwhile-ish, right? But still tough. And probably only at scale. And the numbers that the guy that we spoke to about to yesterday, I mean, that's not easy to find, right? Like sub $100 a buildable in downtown is what they're looking for. So like somebody has to be really fucked up to be able to get that from them.
You put a good deal together, right? You can find a
You can put good deals together, but less than $100 downtown, that's like not even possible. Somebody's got to be in big trouble, right? But that's what he also said, is they're waiting for distress so that they can come in.
Smart money's waiting for better deals.
Like
deals are piling up right now every single week.
Yeah.
There's somebody who's got a receivership or a project where they're like, well, we were going to sell it, but now we want to use the money for these other projects that we have where we're going to make a lot more money on.
Right. Yeah. We
and
need
so
it for
we're
going to
sell it because obviously, and we paid $9 million for it and now we want 16, but you know, we'd probably let it go for 15 and a half.
Yeah. Or six, but I see
I
a lot
the land
of them
deals in E123 yesterday. Cause I was going to go list that property on Woodbine. I'm like, land sales sold last 6 months, zero.
Nothing that's probably closed for sure. If anything,
nothing that's like, sold, nothing that even went firm, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it makes sense.
Welcome,
I mean,
to
people are waiting.
Money is hard to get.
Well, when everybody is in the news talking about rate cuts, and you know, if you actually have a pulse on the economy and the market, you realize that rate cuts would be a very foolish move at the moment. And then we keep hearing no cuts, no cuts, no cuts. And then you hear in the States, like they went from 6 or 7 cuts down to like maybe 1 cut by the end of the year. Nobody knows what the hell. Everybody's
the
ready
inflation
to
numbers
jump.
Are coming up higher right now. The U.S. Fed is already talking about, you know, really keeping an eye on what they're going to do this year, whether rate cuts are going to happen or not.
Right.
So the U.S. is already hinting towards, hey, guys, look, we're not going to just start dropping rates until we can see a path to lower inflation.
Right.
And did anybody go and get gas this week? Was anybody like,
people were lining up for it?
Did you line up?
What do I care? That's so dumb.
I'm like, well, first of all, I didn't need gas at that time.
$6 or $7, you dumb fucks.
You know,
wait in line.
The next day I had to get gas. And so I bought it at like $1.80 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right, well, like,
call the trustee.
That's over now. But, you know, that's going to now pump up our inflation numbers again. That's what the government's going to be. That's what Bank of Canada is going to be looking at. The Fed's looking at the same thing.
Yeah. Look, now we got full blown war
rates
in
aren't
Iran.
Saving anybody. The rates aren't. And exactly. And now
oil. Thank God it's not winter. Thank God we're going into summer. We'd be really fucked with the oil. Right. Yeah. Didn't I say this a couple weeks ago? It's like, how is inflation going down? Oil has to be going up. And now we just added another war, right? That we at least know about. Mm-hmm. So it's like war after war after war. This uses monumentous amounts of oil, right? Mm-hmm. And needs crazy resources. So I just can't see a situation where a rate cut is a good idea, as much as I want it so badly. Like, I'm about to sign my renewal and it's making me sick. I can't do it. It's so gross. And I feel that a hike is next, right? Like, I've been saying this for a while, that I feel like they're going to be forced to hike next, that there's no cut. But when I'm looking at my mortgage, I'm like, how long should I do this for? Like, I think they're going to come down eventually. How long should I lock in for? I don't want to get caught and the rates go down, right? Mm. But the worst thing would be to get caught in something that's not long enough and the rates go up even more, right? And so it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Right? What do you do? What's the right play right now? I don't know. I'm so indecisive with this. And I keep looking at the pieces of paper going.
What I can tell you for sure is talking to people who have been making the rate decisions over the last 2 years, most people got it wrong.
Every expert I know in the business bought a house at the peak and bought a variable mortgage.
Most people got it wrong. And so it's kind of like, who do you trust right now? I mean, you got to look at your own personal situation. Can you afford to pay those payments every single month? And if you can, and you don't want to move, and you don't plan on moving, then you just got to bite the bullet and pay the payment, pay the piper, you know?
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah. And I don't mind that. It's just, it's like before any gamble, you just, you know, you want to.
If you're at your max and you go variable and it goes higher and you can't make those payments anymore.
I would never go variable. It's like, how many years am I going to lock in for before I think like things are coming down again?
But
it's so high and so disgusting. I can't even believe it. And so like, if I do lock in for a longer term and all of a sudden the hell breaks loose in the stock market and everybody's dropping rates all of a sudden and I'm locked in with this stupid long term, just another bad move for me. What else?
Right. So businesses now are getting promised for their carbon rebate. So they were promised before. Basically, they were saying, hey, how come you guys told us you were going to give us back our carbon taxes based on 2019 till now?
Did you get one?
And so now they're basically saying they're going to deliver $2.5 billion directly to Canada's small and medium-sized businesses. You know what? We got this $2.5 billion just sort of lying around here. You know, I'm not really sure what we're going to do with it. We don't actually have the money. But, you know, we'll find it. We'll make it work. And
we'll just write you checks. Anyways.
Why don't we just start giving it out to the businesses? I mean, when we gave them those SEBA loans, like they were pretty
responsible. That went well.
like
yeah. 25% well received. Of them,
you know, went bankrupt and didn't pay us back.
Yeah.
So I figured we should give out another $2.5 billion. I mean, we were going to say million, but like million just, you know, it's just
so passe.
Like, yeah, it's like 2008 million.
Million.
Let's just use billion. Let's just do $2.5 billion on this one. Don't worry.
As well. It's inflation.
Yeah. Mm. So these are the things, right? So
it's
they're trying to
weird.
Cut, they're trying to cut smoking and vaping. They're trying to give more money to CBC because, you know, hey, who
gotta
doesn't
push that propaganda?
CBC propaganda.
Pushing
right?
that propaganda. Gotta pay the machine.
CSIS. They're getting more money. You know?
Who's CSIS? What was CSIS?
The Canadian Security Intelligence Service.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. They're up to good things, I'm sure.
There was a flight this morning of a Chinese jet plane flying next to a Canadian plane. What was that all about? I've seen that on social media. Did you see that?
No, I was busy wrapped up in the guy that lit himself on fire in front of the Trump trial. Did you see that nuttiness?
No. What happened?
This guy lit himself on fire outside of the trial.
Oh, that was an old story. The Chinese fighter jet was an old story.
Sorry. Old story. What about the...
My bad, guys. It just came up on my feed.
Did you see what's going on in Dubai while we're taking a hard left here, TK?
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see what's going on in Dubai?
I turned left.
Did you turn left?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me what's going on in Dubai.
You haven't seen what's going on in Dubai? They're like flooded up to their armpits everywhere. It's like the crazy. They had a year's worth of rain in a couple hours there.
They were like, okay, let's make it rain today, guys. Put a little bit of A and put a little bit of B, and we're going to make it rain today.
A little cloud seeding. Oops. Hey,
Tim, you put too much B.
Too much A, you dumb fuck. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
These are perfect accents for Dubai, by the way.
Yeah. I've never been to Dubai, so forget
it. No, but this is what they do, apparently. They're cloud seeding over there, and a little bit too much of the cloud seeding, I think, because they, oh, my God. So, but what's going on there, and the brilliance of Dubai is they started building stuff a little too quick, because it turns out they have no drainage out there in the desert underneath the city. So when you get an extraordinary amount of rain, which you're not expecting because you're in the desert and you have to, you know, put stuff in the clouds in order to get rain like this. Mm-hmm. It's just like a giant swimming pool. So all the geniuses, right, that went over there because you don't pay taxes, maybe you want to pay a little bit of taxes for some drainage to get installed in the coming years.
Look, but Dubai seems like a nice. Dubai seems like a nice place to live. So I don't. I think they're all probably on the 20th floor anyway. So I don't think the water.
Everybody's on the 20th floor. No, but you got to go see this. It is insane what's going on there. Okay, so there we made a left to Dubai and the guy who burned himself on fire for the craziest reasons, TK. But we won't get into that here because we're all into fairness for every generation, right?
Yeah. The taxes that are paid on capital gains, right? People complain about them, right? I really like the 1031 exchange that they've got
in the States. Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Right? Well, like if we had something like that, that would be a really good policy where, you know, the taxes can be higher. So if somebody wants to pay capital gains because they're wanting to exit the market and stuff like that, then yeah, there's going to be a way for the government to be able to, you know, recuperate and you know, use those funds for public services. But if someone wants to reinvest into something that would qualify, you know, and they could make a program that would just, you know, qualify. They thought, we need more housing. It's like the perfect sort of like segue here is like, how do we get people to invest in more housing? Okay, great. Let's raise the capital gains, make it so that it's really painful for those who need to be able to, you know, get out, which is what they're doing. But those who are investors who are serious, they can use that money and avoid the capital gains by putting it into something else, as long as they do A, B, and C in order to be able to re-stimulate the economy and build more housing. Like it would be the perfect sort of system because it's safe to say
build more.
Government is not going to build any housing.
Yeah, but those 1031 exchanges are done on investment properties, not on building houses. Maybe there's a way you can orchestrate it to force people to build. Rentals. But this is what we keep talking about. I've come up with the solution. I don't know why it's not like a thing. Why are all these The pre-construction guys flipping paper, they're just investors. They're just looking for a return. Why are we not pooling this money together?
The returns aren't good in purpose-built rentals. You're running the numbers. They suck.
But you can make them better if you if you lie a little. But yeah. I think if you finance it a certain way, like with all cash from investors, that it, yeah, it still can't spit
you lie.
Out that
and,
much
and
money.
And you know why those people are buying flipping paper? Because the developers lied to them.
Well,
they put on a big show. And they said, guys, look, the last project we did, we launched it in 2013, and our investors, they made 328% on their down payment, you know? And so everyone's like, whoa, it's a great return. It's only in 4 years, right? And then all of a sudden, they say, well, this time around, you know, we're expecting the growth of the city to go, and then the rents to go, and that, you know, the maintenance will go, and that the timeline will go. And everyone's like, wow, this seems great. And how much is the price? $1,600 a square foot. Well, it's a little bit higher, but I mean, the last one went from 800 to 1,000. So if this one goes from 1,600 to 2,000, I'm going to make a lot of money.
And there's a rental guarantee.
And there's a rental
just
guarantee.
Just in case. Perfect. I'm covered on
so
every
that's
basis
why these guys
here.
Are buying these. Like, Daryl, the average person, even the ones that I've met who are really experienced in buying pre-con, a lot of them are very, very, very simple minded. They're not, mm-hmm. you know, they bought a bunch. They took a big chance. They doubled down and then they did really well and they got it done and they made a bunch of money. But a lot of them now they're closing those units and they're in trouble and that
so
they can't afford to
then?
Keep them. And they got private mortgages and they're, you know, they're in over their head. And
so
all
what
of a sudden
now?
This great strategy that they had turned out to just be the market.
Well,
so
I mean, this is true.
I don't think those people exist anymore. I don't think that those people making money, pre-con, flipping paper, all that kind of stuff is an actual investor profile.
So, but here, check this out. Since 2019, Canada's population growth has risen by around 1.1 million or 35% more than housing availability could accommodate. The increase has eclipsed labor force needs by between 200 and 700,000 or between 5 and 20%. So like, where's the scenario where like affordability creeps back in and prices actually come down? Like what happens to all the, do we just get bigger tent cities?
Where do these people go?
We can't fit all these people into the existing. And there's no fucking reason for anyone to build a condo or for anyone to build a purpose-built rental now, right? So, I mean, there's only so much super high-end luxury stuff you can build on the market that still pencils. So, like, where are all these people going to live? What are all these people going to do? And there's more coming, right?
I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but the bottom line is the people who are coming, those that population growth, they're like, there's a lot of people living in these houses, man. I'm telling you, there's a lot
they're
of people
that jam packed.
They're jam packed. You know,
jam-packed.
when you get your
is
house.
This how
right?
It was after World War II.
You get your house and then you invite your brother over with his kids and then you got, you know, their kids. And now you got like 8-9 people all living in the same house.
Hmm.
You know, and you're going to do that.
My grandparents did that.
Maybe when you did it before, after a couple of years, you were able to, you know, your brother or sister, or whatever, was able to buy their own place and get out. Maybe 20 years ago, that was the case. But these days, that's not the case.
No, you're saving up to be in one of these office conversion co-op deals.
You're
going to
be in that house for a lot longer with those people.
Boy, this is so horrible.
The number of people per household is going to start to rise, which it was going down.
Is there no way to make this work, make these numbers
work? We were very inefficient with our land, very inefficient with our housing. And as the baby boomers start to age and more of them, you know, start to pass, right, and their houses will become freed up, then we'll start to see that number go down again. But we're going to see it go up. I mean, that's just, like, it's not like, it's just math. It's just simple math. If there's a certain amount of houses and a certain amount of people, if you increase the amount of people, but you don't increase the amount of houses, it means there's more people in those houses. It's very simple.
But it also means that those houses cost more, no?
It doesn't necessarily mean that, because
doesn't
you just, well, you just gave us a figure. You said since 2019,
yeah,
that the population's gone up 1.1 million, right? And that the housing hasn't been able to keep up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, prices went down in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Prices went down at the end of 2022. I think a safe forecast would be this year. Prices could be flat at best for 2024. So that theory right away doesn't make any sense.
Gone out the window.
Yeah. Like, I know it's so on paper, you would think that everyone would be vying for the, you know, trying to buy their own home. But at the end of the day, interest rates have been controlling the market. And that's what the intention has been.
So did we have a crash? Was I talking to you about this the other day? No, I was talking to somebody else. But we crashed already.
We corrected already.
20%.
Yeah, we're on.
Isn't that a crash?
Whatever.
Are we waiting for another crash right now, or are we?
We're not going to have another crash. We're in a correction.
We're in a
long-term correction, which is
flat,
very flat market.
Very
flat.
For an extended period of time.
The bad debt gets flushed away, and the people who are,
aren't we creating more bad debt too?
They're the people who are able to buy and who are in a position to buy because they're working hard, they're doing things, they got all sorts of great opportunities to make money, are going to be the ones who are buying homes. And that market's there. I was talking to someone last night about it. Like, custom home builders are still, you know, alive. You know, there's people who still have, you know, multi-million dollar properties that come up for sale and get sold. There's people with money. I got a new listing coming out in the Beaches next week. And, you know, I'm following that market closely. And, you know, $2.5-3.5 million houses are trading. People are buying them. You got a good house, price right, people are buying it. So it's like, people have money. They're ready to buy. They're okay. There's a little market of people who are just like, hey, I'm going to sell my home to somebody else who's got the money to buy it. And I'm going to go and buy the home that I want. I'm not really worried about interest rates and the market and all that kind of stuff because I need a bigger home. That environment's still there. It's just all that speculator nonsense. This is why pre-con is dead, right? This is why investment properties, multiplexes, apartment buildings, it's bad. Like, I'm looking out there and I'm seeing how many people are listing triplexes right now because they bought them a couple of years ago at a crazy number. And then they looked at their rents, and they looked at how much money they were losing every month. And then they looked at their tenants, and they looked at the work. And they're like, this is not for me.
And they were supposed to refinance it and get their money out by now.
Let's just get out of this. I don't want anything to do with this because they're retail investors. And they got in because they got a job and their friend said, you should buy a triplex. And everybody else said it was a great idea. And they went out and they're like, I'll buy a $2 million triplex in Hyde Park. What could go wrong? You know, and those people are putting them back on the market now, trying to get out. And so there's a bunch of those. There's a bunch of overpriced apartment buildings. There's been a few sales of some really big portfolios. So I don't know what that means, but they're trading still at about a 4 cap. So there's still like some stuff in Parkdale and like really downtown, like 100 unit buildings and things that have been moving, you know? So there's a little bit of that. But overall, like, you know, there's really not a lot of activity. We're starting to see fiveplexes come on now with the Laneway suite. There's one in the Junction.
For sale?
$3.3 million. Fourplex with a Laneway.
What'd they pay for it? Do you know? What'd they pay?
No, it looks like they created it. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's the play. That's the play. Like, if you're going to go and buy something for $1 million and then you know.
They didn't pay $1 million for that.
No.
I don't know.
They build up. Anyways, whatever it is, bottom line is there's an opportunity for people to make
money. Is it worth $3.3 million?
That's
five units?
That's the
question. How much is that per unit? Can we do that quickly? Oh my.
600 and.
Arm. Jesus. What was it? How much was it?
330. So 666.
So that's a lot of money per unit.
Door. Yeah.
It's a lot of money. And they're probably big units though too. Well, good luck to them. I'd love to know what happens with that whole thing. So as part of all this government stuff and budgets and housing plans, right? Like the federal government, especially. I mean, Ford's been pushing for more housing forever, and he just keeps getting fucked up at every turn. We talked about the Greenbelt was actually a great move to get more stuff on the market. Maybe not affordable, but more.
10 years from now, we'd have a bunch of houses at Pickering.
Well, now we won't. But Or will we? The rhetoric is like, oh, we care and we want to get more housing on, and we're going to do all these things. We're going to change all the planning and we want more houses faster, right? And so our buddy Greg had this project that was the talk of the town on Twitter, because
where was it?
I forget exactly where. It's in Toronto. It was on a laneway. It was a lot that sided onto a laneway. And so, anyways, they pushed it quite a bit, and they went for 10 units, maybe a whole bunch of other deviations from the bylaws. And when I saw it, I actually questioned him. I said, like, why here? Why is this a good place to be able to do this? Because me and him are talking all the time, and I'm like, what about this one? Would this work? Will this work for it? And generally, you know, there's nowhere that works to push the limits right now with this kind of a thing, because it's brand new. And so if the city starts to cave right away before it's even like a thing, really, I mean, imagine what happens, right? You forget about your five plexes. They automatically all turn into 10 plexes now, right? So anyway, so he got completely rejected at the Committee of Adjustments. Yeah. And I mean,
is Greg coming back on the shows?
We've talked about it, but you know, being the number one podcast in Canadian history, you know, we're booking into, you know, 2026 right now, so we'll try and get him on. But we both work with him a lot, and you know, we know that he knows what he's doing, but they just got killed on this one. And so you see that most people in the industry could make a really good case as to why this building should be allowed there. And then if you add to it, you know, crisis and shortage and the need for this kind of product and the push for more houses sooner, you just constantly see things getting pushed aside and not considered properly, right? And you just, the policies are like better than what we have, but they're not as good as they actually could be or should be. And then there's just still all kinds of red tape that just gets in the way. It just doesn't fucking matter. It's like there's a tree in the middle of the property. Who the fuck cares? Cut down the tree and build 400 units. Don't drop the deal because there's a tree.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, but literally, there's trees that have prevented people from living in homes.
Thousands and thousands of units, okay. Right?
Trees. Right? Trees. More homelessness than any other physical entity ever.
I don't know about any other physical entity ever, but they have killed a ton of deals because, you know, some guy is got a bee in his bonnet about these trees. I mean, I don't know. Are there that many people that give a fuck if we cut down this big ass tree and plant 18 over there? I meant
living
there?
Entity, meaning like, you know, frogs, you know,
oh,
goats.
Frogs. I mean, those
foxes.
Are important.
Deer,
they protect birds,
the trees,
yeah.
The birds, you know,
lion
they
frogs.
They protect everything. But the trees are the number one species preventing housing, unfortunately. Not that I'm like an anti-tree person. Listen, we need more trees. But if I'm going to say I'm going to take down these five trees over here and I'm going to plant 300 of them over there, like, can I not get some credit for that?
You can, but you got to go through a whole bloody ringamaroo. And sometimes
they say no.
The outcome is uncertain. So it's like, do I want to go firm on this deal with all this uncertainty around this tree? Or do I want to just move on to something that has a little bit more certainty, right? Because if this thing doesn't get resolved, like, holy cow, right?
But there are scenarios where those trees, they protect them and they say, no, you can take down every tree but that one.
One of my first projects, that was a whole bloody thing with trees. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
It was an absolute disaster. And then the things that you have to do to protect these trees. And it's like, honestly, just let me kill the tree and plant seven more along the back or something like that, or donate to
I'll donate to a tree farm. Yeah. I'll plant seven trees. And I'll dedicate, you know, a whole floor to the tree. I'll name the tree and I'll dedicate a whole floor to him. You know, so his memory will always be there. But they don't care.
They don't care. It's crazy.
I got a heritage property that's I'm working on right now. So this one is a heritage property where you've got a vacant lot next door. So when they bought the property, the lot came with the house. So they had heritage property. You know, it was on 200 acres at one point, and then developers bought, sold different things. Then they had this vacant lot next door. So that, I guess, maybe one of the old owners thought, you know, we'll have this extra lot to build another house on and we won't sell it. And it ended up getting just passed down to owner to owner to owner. So these guys bought it. So they also own the lot next door. And typically the lot would be merged on title because if they have the same names. In Ontario, if two properties are next to each other, they merge on title if they're under the same names.
So same company, same people?
Same name and title. Yeah.
Okay.
And so anyways, I talked to Greg and he talked to someone else. And he referred me to a titles lawyer and we're going back and forth. We're trying to figure this all out. And it seems like maybe because of the heritage designation, it wasn't merged on title, because having that lot be merged with a heritage property means that now the lot is heritage. So it would be preventing having a house built on it, right?
And that's probably all you can even build on the other 199 acres is one house.
No. The 200 acres was like 200 years ago. This is in Scarborough. Hmm. It's the subdivision now. It's just this is the last original house that was on the farm. I've sold a couple of these in Scarborough where you're, and they're always like on a weird angle because they were facing the main road at one point and then they built the development another way. But heritage is another thing. And so I was talking to someone last night about Parliament and how, you know, Parliament, obviously in the south part there, you've got a lot of development and everything. But if you go further north, you've got now another heritage district, right?
Which we Cabbage know what
kind of town. Neighborhood
that is. Disaster.
And it's just like, what are we doing? Again, I'm not against like preserving buildings and all this kind of stuff, but it's just one more, you know, obstacle that we face when we're trying to build up the city to try to make it so that people can actually live here and have housing.
And it's an obstacle that costs not only just to salvage and restore the original, right? Mm-hmm. But on top of that, the time and the consulting and the reports that you have to go through that add on top of the process, you're talking like a year to 2 years sometimes to sort out this heritage nonsense. And then like millions of dollars to reinforce the facades and then another millions of dollars to restore everything and millions of dollars extra to attach the old shit to the new thing. Under the old shit. It's like such a nightmare. This is how much some of these deals though were making, right? Back in the day when they were putting them all together that they could handle all this. But now, now if you end up with like a heritage and you have rental replacement and it's like, God knows what else you could run into these days. I don't know how anything can make any sense. While prices are fluctuating or nobody knows what the price is and everything that's going for sale is falling flat. So you can't figure out what the price is. So, and then when everything that launches falls flat, you go, maybe we should wait a little bit longer before we launch now. Right. And it just, everything perpetuates. And then you see every deal that, every deal that comes out for sale now, like is never going to sell. It's never going to sell because the owners need to get so much money for it or they go bankrupt.
Yeah.
It's not like they want to get,
you know,
this.
They had those like furniture store closing sales.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
oh yeah.
It should be like bankruptcy sale, guys. So just the developers should just advertise that even if they're not going bankrupt.
Right.
We're going bankrupt sale. Now get the lowest prices per square foot on your unit right now. We're throwing in everything extra. You want a parking spot? We'll give you two. You want a locker? We'll give you a bicycle storage, right? Free that, upgrades. Free. That
sounds like a horrible idea. But like when they're selling land or something to get out of it is really what I'm talking about. Is you see all these like almost zoned properties with these crazy prices because last year, maybe you could have got something for his own piece of land because people wanted to get a shovel in the ground because people were still buying, right? Yeah. But now nobody's buying. Nobody wants something to put a shovel in the ground because you're just going to hold on to it until it's like a good time to sell.
One of the sites that I saw that I was getting messages from somebody was Eight Temple.
Eight Temple. Why does that sound familiar?
Temple, Dufferin and King.
Oh, Temple. Yeah.
So that's a site that people are now pushing, right? Because obviously the sales aren't where they need them to be. I'm sure that's a ticking clock. My clients bought at 481 University. It's at University in Dundas, and it was an old TD building that's heritage. And that it's like a crazy project what they've done. I don't know if they've actually come out of the ground yet, but they were like going down for the parking, and they're saving this building because, first of all, it's not anything that I think is, you know, that attractive, but it was from an era that obviously they wanted to preserve, and somebody was able to designate this place as heritage. And so therefore, in order to develop the site, they got to keep the heritage facade. So they're doing all this work, steel beams, you know, they're holding up the walls, you know what it looks like.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, there's nothing left of this building here. Like there really is nothing left of this building. They could have replicated what it's like a 18 inch wall that's 4, 5, 6 stories high that just wraps around the outside two corners of the building.
But how many of these actually even look good when you mix like these old piece of shit buildings with these brand new modern like monoliths?
Right.
Does it look good?
And you could have just like, you know, made a replica of it. Like, have you not been to Vegas? They made New York City and Paris.
Jesus. Yeah.
Like, why can't they make a TD building downtown? And they can put a big TD sign. Everyone would be like, wow, that's where the TD building was. But look at that building. It would have saved so much cost. No sense to have done what they did.
So much cost.
Yeah. But
it's crazy.
It sounded good and it was a big project. And the guys were, you know, the architects and everything like that were all excited about it. And they charged an arm and a leg. I remember when the client bought it in 2017 and we're paying 1700 square bucks a square foot or something crazy. I thought you guys are stupid for buying $700 a square foot. They're like, no, we have a vision. And as I watched them over the years, it was like, oh yeah, people are paying even more than that now. I don't know if it's genius or not, but obviously, you know, they had some foresight.
People are paying a lot more than that. So here's the real question. We're going to end with this, TK, because this is the important question.
The important one. Not all the other ones weren't important.
Nothing here was important today. This I can tell you for sure. But TK, the important question is, do I remember what the important question is? I don't even remember what the important question is now. The important question is, do people really want affordable housing? Because no seller I know wants it to be affordable, right? Nobody making the stuff really wants it to be affordable.
After the buyer buys, they don't want it to be affordable.
After the buyer buys.
After
right?
I buy, no more affordable housing.
No.
That's affordable just up for until me. The time that I buy. And then
that's right.
Going forward, make it unaffordable again.
Right. Okay. So all of the people who currently own, none of them, which the are renters, mainly the politicians.
The renters want it
to be affordable.
They don't
give a fuck. They don't
But care. They're never buying.
They gave up a long time ago, yeah. Right? But yeah. So the point is the amount of people that care for affordable housing, right? Mm-hmm. Versus the ones who don't, I think there's a gap, okay? There's a big fucking gap there.
The children want affordable housing. They're not corrupted by
children.
Greed. They're not corrupted by greed. They don't care about money. They say, I just want to be happy. I just want to live a good life. And I just want to have a home. And yes, it would be a lot easier for me to afford one if the prices were a little bit lower. Somebody, won't you please think of the children?
Somebody, please think of the children. But the real question is like, do we really want affordable housing? And will we as a collective do what it takes, including the people that really make the decisions about this, will they do what it takes to create this affordable environment where people say we have to go back to 2003 or something with our income to price? Well, no, we're just with our pricings, so that our income is actually at the right spot
Not happening.
So then what? So it's just another big ruse, right? So is there a solution to navigate in this ruse? And
yes.
Yeah, just put on blinders and forget the ruse. Right? Let's go.
I got to make more money today. I'm going to spend less money. I'm going to spend less money today. I'm not going to buy that Mercedes.
I'm not going to buy the Porsche.
I'm not going to go on my third vacation this year. I'm not going to go on my third vacation this year. This is
the problem.
That's
how do you stop buying stuff? Who
Because I don't know.
See people stopping, or do you just see lots of people complaining about stopping?
I think people are on autopilot, and so that they don't know how to stop. You need to take a step back. You need do a spreadsheet and look at all your expenses every single month. You need to look at your job and say, is this a job that's going to give me this lifestyle that I want? What do I see over the next 10 or 20 years, right? What am I doing to invest my money? There's a lot of financial illiteracy out there that people just really don't, you know, like myself included. The amount of stuff I learned over the last 5 years compared to what I knew, you know, 10 years ago. You know, it's not new information. It's all the stuff that was out there 10 years ago. I wasn't paying attention.
New perspective.
Right. And so there's a lot of information that people have to be focused on. And then if they're not, then to each their own, you know, I mean, again, there's lots of people in bad situations, and that's what social programs are for. But when everybody says, I want a handout from the government and I need my done,
you need to fix this. You need to fix this.
You know what? These are the problems that we've got. We've got to, you know, try to get everybody a little bit more self-accountable. There's lots of ways to make money out there. There's lots of lifestyles that are perfectly acceptable. I was talking to a lady yesterday. She bought a house, top dollar.
OnlyFans?
No.
Oh, she's, I thought you were going that way.
Nice woman with a daughter, single, having some family stuff going on. Bought the house, paid top dollar, peak pricing. Said, you know, I need to get out. And, you know, for personal reasons. And I said, all right, I looked at her situation and I said, to be honest with you, if you sell, you're going to lose money. There's no way that you're not going to lose money. It is what it is. And that her next step wasn't that clear. It was like, well, maybe I could go here. Da, 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 da. So I said, the best thing you could do right now, and this was just, you know, advice that was just like very generalized, because I don't have all the facts yet. And we're going to talk again next week, but rent out the house that she's in right now. It's a great neighborhood, a great property. She could rent it out. Go and rent another house with the same amount. So if you got $2,500 a month, $3,500 a month rent for the house that you're living in right now, go and rent a place for $3,500 or less in the area that you think you want to be in. Live there for a year and see what it's like. You know, maybe the market will change and you could sell your home afterwards, or maybe you can decide to, you know, stay in that location. Maybe you want to move again to another location and figure out what's better for you and your family, right? But that was the situation. And why I said this right now is, I said, there's no shame in renting. I said, you don't have any shame in renting. Don't have any, negative sort of
people
like
better get over their rental shame.
Like, you know,
get over it.
That being what's necessary for you to be able to live your life today in the right location for you and your family. There's nothing wrong with renting.
No, I loved renting.
You will own nothing and you will be happy. Thanks for joining us today on the Canadian Real Estate Show. Sponsored by
WEF Canada.